You're listening to Lead, Sell, Grow, the Human Experience Podcast. I am your host, Eric Konovalov, and I believe that we can achieve everything we want if we take our leadership, sales ability, and personal growth to a higher level. On this show, we share ideas on how to break through our invisible boundaries, start taking steps towards our dreams, and create the life we desire. I invite you to open your mind to new possibilities, new ideas, and to the truth that everything you want is possible for you. Thank you for being here and welcome to the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Lead, Sell, Grow, the Human Experience Podcast. I hope you guys are doing great today. And if you have not done so yet, get over to Facebook, Lead, Sell, Grow, the Human Experience Mastermind Facebook group. And the Facebook page, join me there. Let me know what you think about this awesome episode because we're going to get into some awesome, awesome stuff with my guest today. All right. If you don't know yet, here's a question for you. What if everything you've been taught about how to eliminate procrastination, reduce overwhelm, and achieve your goals is wrong? Oof. What if everything we believe is not true? This is precisely what behavioral change expert Adele Spraggan suggests, and she can prove it. Adele, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here, Eric.
Okay. So first of all, just tell the audience a little bit about you, because I've been to your website. You're globally recognized for quite a few things. You've achieved some awards in this behavioral change space. So before we get into that, could you just tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. So I've been in the personal development industry for about 30 years now, going on 30 years. And initially, I was coaching in much the same way that everybody coaches in this space, or a lot of people coach in this space. So the instructions sound like this: set a goal, determine the steps that you want to take to get to that goal. If you're not taking those steps, then find a trainer who can train you, or somebody who's walked the path before and follow in their footsteps. If you're still not following those steps, probably a mindset. That's where I would come in. So I would help people to achieve a better mindset and think positive and how to do those affirmations and all of those things that we like to do to get to that goal. If you're still not getting to that goal, hey, there's something wrong with you, something wrong with the goal, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. Go back to the beginning, start again, set a different goal. And I was coaching and training in this way. And then I started to notice something interesting about myself. I had a pattern, Eric, of quitting. So I would set a goal for myself. And in my case, I wanted my own business. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And I set that goal three times. And three times I quit. I turned tail and I ran away from that goal. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm doing everything that I am teaching. I'm doing everything that I've been taught to do. I'm working on my mindset. I'm determining the steps to get to that goal. I'm doing everything. Why is this not working? And finally, I thought, all right, I'm going to interview the people that I'm coaching. At this point, I was a lead coach in one of the top industries in this space. And so I said, hey, look, just between you and me, how's it going? And about 25% were achieving their goals. They were very happy. They were doing everything right. About 50% were somewhere in between. Well, you know, some things are working, but some things not so much. And then about 25% were like me. It's like, no, this isn't working for me. And I don't know why. Well, I wasn't happy with those results. And I started to think to myself, maybe it's not us. Maybe it's the instructions that we're being given. So I went to university, I enrolled to get my master's in humanities, and I wanted to know, how does this human brain of ours think? How does it make decisions? What is going on inside the skull? And as my learning started to show me, it was like, yeah, we really are using the wrong operating instructions. So I created new ones. And 10 years ago, I started teaching those. Today, 87% of the people that I work with reach and achieve their goals. Their difference is remarkable. They are happy when they get there, whereas most people, when they get to the goals, they may get there, but then they still feel like something's missing in their life. But in this case, when we work with the way the brain works, there's happiness along with goal achievement, and there's very, very little procrastination. So that's what I educate people on now. How does your brain actually make decisions on your behalf? What is going on inside the skull of ours, which is preventing so many of us from achieving those goals and being happy when we get there?
Wow. So what was your, like, an aha moment when you went to school? What did you read or what did you see that made you realize that what you knew wasn't correct?
Yeah. So the way the human brain works, I mean, and if we think about it, let's just think about where it's positioned inside our body. So here it is inside this skull. And inside the skull, there is no sight, there is no sound, there is no touch, there is no smell. There is nothing inside the brain but electrical impulses which are going down these channels. Okay. So our brain, our human brain, is what is called a pattern maker. It works by creating patterns. It creates neural pathways, neural channels.
Could you give me an example of one?
Sure. So just think about anything that you do. I suggest that most people think of their brain as an iceberg. Just picture your brain as an iceberg. At the top of the water is everything you do, everything you believe, and every behavior you adopt. Okay. Those behaviors, those actions, those beliefs all have running underneath them a neural pathway in the brain that gives rise to that action, that behavior, that belief. So you and I, if we are faced with the same situation, Eric, you will behave differently than I will. You will believe differently than I will. Your actions will be different than mine. Why? Not because one of us is right and one of us is wrong, but just simply because we have different brain patterns. Okay.
I was going to say, because mine is right and yours is wrong.
Right. My experiences given by my life have led me to certain beliefs that my brain has stored away and that I now act on. And same with yours. Your experiences are different. Your everything that you went through throughout your life is different. Therefore, you believe differently. You behave differently. You act
are
differently.
Beliefs in the brain or in the mind?
So we need a neural pathway in the brain in order for our mind to determine a belief.
Okay. So if I'm brand new and I don't know the difference between the brain and the mind, how would you define brain versus the mind?
That's a very interesting question. I don't see any difference personally, but I'll give you a difference. I like to think of the mind as being the thought, the collective thoughts that occur inside the brain.
Okay? Inside the brain. So could you dissect the brain and point to the mind in the brain?
No, neuroscience has no way to determine where the mind is arising.
So it may not be inside the brain.
It may not be.
Okay, yeah. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm still searching for that one person and I've had a lot of guests and I've spoken to quite a few people, neuroscientists, and the answers to that question are all over the place.
Varied. Yeah, it's because there's really no way to determine that. In fact, what is your definition of the mind will be different. The mind will be different from the person listening, right? Yeah. What do you say the mind is? You know, if we want to go down this path, we'll see how many different beliefs there are.
Okay. So are you familiar with Bob Proctor?
I am.
Okay, perfect. So I kind of adopted that philosophy of the mind.
Which is, remind me.
So what he taught was we're spiritual beings in a physical body gifted with an intellect. Okay. The mind is the spiritual part of us. That's our connection to the higher power, whatever that higher power may be for you. That's how, you know, and he talks about the law of attraction and vibrations and things like that. So I'm of the belief that the mind is that connection to other, like there's one mind like in the universe, and we're all kind of connected to it. And that connects us to the higher power. That's the most basic way I could explain my belief about it, but yeah.
Okay, great. So that's, we can see the difference, right? Like my definition is just, it's all the thoughts that are arising in the brain. And those are what I would call mind. And yours is a spiritual connection. So there's two different beliefs. How did we come to those two different beliefs? Simply because your life experiences led you there. So you created patterns in your brain that led you to that belief. And my life experiences led me to patterns, creating patterns in my brain that led me to my belief.
Correct.
No right or wrong. Here's the question we need to ask. Does it work? And when I suggest we ask that question is, does it work for us and does it work for everybody around us?
Does what work?
Does that belief work? Does that behavior work? Does that action work?
Meaning, does it help me get to where I want to go, or does it not? Does it get closer, take me further away, or what do you mean by does it work? They all work.
Well, there's two ways to know if a pattern is working. Does it take you to your goal, as you just said? And the second way is, does it create any conflict for me or for anybody around me?
Okay.
Okay. If the answer to that is no, then that pattern works. If the answer to that is yes, it's creating conflict, or it's not leading me to my goals, then it doesn't work. So now the next question is, then what do we do? Okay, so that's how you're going to tell if you have a pattern in your brain that doesn't work.
Okay, so can we go back to your example of where you had a pattern of quitting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That didn't work for me.
That didn't work for you, but your belief, I'm guessing, and I don't know, obviously, but I'm guessing your belief was that you can start your own business. That's why you even started to start your own business, right? Or even had the thought, or no?
Yeah, definitely. I had one belief that said I can start my own business. And then I had another belief that would kick in when I got partway down that path that said, you're not good enough, run, turn around and start again. Okay, this idea isn't working. This idea sucks. Oh, I had all sorts of beliefs at that point.
And each belief comes with its own pattern. So the
exactly.
one that said, I can start my own business. You start, worked. You get down the road, the other one kicks in, and the programming for that is to quit. The pattern for that is quit.
You got it. Yeah, you're getting it, right?
Yeah.
So now I had one pattern that worked. Yes, I want to start my own business, and one pattern that didn't work. I'm going to quit this business. So I had to deal with the pattern that didn't work. Leave the patterns that work alone. Those are fine. But those patterns that don't work, we need to address them. So how are we going to address them? What's the new operating instructions? Well, it is not to strive to get to where we want to go. Okay? Because that pattern, once it is formed in the brain, will likely have its own way. Okay? So this is how your brain is making decisions on your behalf.
Adele, but okay, I hear you. I think we missed a huge component here. Okay. You're a coach and you've been in personal development for over 30 years.
Yeah.
So your level of awareness is, it's up
way up there. Yeah.
I'm kind of a novice at it, but I feel like my level of awareness is a little bit heightened as well.
Okay.
Most of these patterns and most of our beliefs are unconscious to people. Mm-hmm. Like we don't even know that we believe what we believe. Mm-hmm. We don't know that that's a pattern. We that's just our life.
Yeah.
And how real is it? Like, oh, you're not good enough to start that business. Yeah, you're right. I'm not good enough. I've never done that. No one's in my family done it. All the reasoning.
All these justifications. Yeah.
Perfect justification. You're like, yeah, of course I'm not good enough. And you drop it and you go on to something else. How do people become consciously aware of their beliefs and their patterns?
Yeah. So, let's define pattern, okay? Because you and I are defining it differently. So I'm going to give you my definition. So a pattern is not a repetitive belief. A pattern is not a behavior. All of that is at the top of the iceberg. A pattern is an intertwined physical sensation, emotion, and thought. I'm going to say that again. When the three parts of us comes together. So the three parts of me come together, physical, emotional, mental, into an intertwining, it creates a particular action, a particular behavior, a particular belief. Okay. So that's the first thing to know.
One thing most Americans could probably relate to, and this is how my brain thinks. I really want to understand what you're saying and want to make sure I got you correctly. Mm-hmm. When I say, where were you on September 11th?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, most Americans will know exactly where they were. They remember how they felt, and there'll be a certain action that maybe somebody cries, they become sad, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So I'll just give you an example from my life. So this pattern that I had for quitting this business, right? That pattern was driven by a physical sensation, an emotion, a thought. The physical sensation would be contraction, yuck, repulsion, that kind of feeling. The emotion was shame and fear. And the thought was, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. That's a pattern right there. So you're asking, how do we identify when something's not working if we haven't had any coaching experience? Well, all you have to do is look at how are you feeling and what is the one thought that's going through your head. And if that isn't working, then that is driven by a pattern, and that's what we're going to address. Okay. So part of what I do is make everything a lot more simple than what we are taught it is. It is actually much more simple to identify when you have a pattern that doesn't work than you likely think it is, because you're taught to do a lot of analysis and a lot of trying to understand why, rather than just asking what. What am I feeling? Where am I feeling that? What is my mind saying? Got it?
Yep.
Okay. So that makes everything really simple. If you're procrastinating, if you're not doing what you want to do, check in with yourself. Wow, what am I feeling right now? What's my thought saying right now? Okay. And there is what you need to then go to work on, not the why. Don't worry about the why. Okay. Yeah, I know you got a question there, Eric. Jump in.
No, because it just happened to me over the last 2 days, right? I'm redoing my website and I had this idea. I have a page for coaching and a page for sales training. And I did a video, kind of like a welcome video, a little bit about, you know, what this, you know, what my coaching service is about, what my sales training services are about. The sales one went smoothly. That video is done. I edited it. Like literally took me probably an hour. The whole thing was completely done. The coaching one took like, first I recorded it, then I procrastinated, then I, you know, messed around with editing, like 3 days.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting down to do it. And then I'm like, I pick up the phone and I'm looking at Facebook, or, oh, I should do this video. I should respond to this email. And I had to stop because, I mean, to me, that was just like me operating, right? But I had to stop and say, what the hell's going on? Why aren't you just finishing this freaking video so you can move on? It's on your to-do list. Get it done. And what I came up with is I really didn't like the video that I came up with.
Yeah.
So great. Interesting.
Perfect. You've just identified a pattern, right? So you had a very workable pattern for doing that sales video. It worked. Look how easy and effortless it was. You had an unworkable pattern when it came to doing the coaching side. And we could dive into that a little bit, Eric, and we could really identify what it is about that that stopped you. What was the pattern that stopped you? Physical sensation, emotion, thought, right? You already figured out one thought. It's not good enough. But you said something earlier, which is a really, really intriguing question. Is that true? Right? Is it true that that video wasn't good enough? Well, we don't know. You will not know until you remove that pattern. Okay? Once you subtract that pattern from your brain, then you may find, oh, yeah, it's fine. It's just me being judgy about it. Right? Or you may find, yeah, that didn't work because here's what's missing. So the interesting thing about these subconscious regions of our brain is they don't speak English. They don't speak languages. They speak in emotion. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get stopped just simply because what we're trying to do isn't going to work. And our subconscious tries to communicate that by stopping you. Okay? So there is nothing in you that wants to sabotage you. That is also a myth given by today's world. There is nothing in your brain that wants you to not succeed. It's just until we understand how patterns work and how to work with our brain in the way that it is, I'm going to use the word designed. It's not a great word, but in the way it functions, then it's tricky for us to know how to navigate this world because we believe so much in our thinking process. And oftentimes the thought is just riding in on the back of that emotion. If you're feeling like this something about that video, right? And we could identify it. How were you feeling?
There was a part of it where I felt like I was bragging.
Okay, there you go. Perfect. Yeah, so you were judging it. You were feeling like, wow, that won't be accepted. It is unacceptable. Good. Now your mind will just come in and support that and see how it did that. Yep. It did it brilliantly.
It did it really well. So do you believe, you know, if you listen to guys like Tony Robbins who say, you know, our brain is designed to keep us safe. So anytime you're, you know, it's designed to keep us safe from like the saber-toothed tiger that's about to eat you. And it doesn't know the difference between the fear you feel when it's a saber-toothed tiger or the fear you feel when you're about to you know, do a video that you're going to post or go up on stage or make a cold call or whatever it is the same fear. The brain acts the same way and it wants to stop you to keep you safe. So you're, the way you said it is there's nothing in your brain that wants to sabotage you. So I agree with that. But is that, you know, stop you from doing something that the brain perceives to be dangerous to you or not comfortable to you? Is that a way of sabotage?
So the only thing that's different about what I teach and what somebody like Tony Robbins teaches is I teach a method to subtract what is not working for you. Okay. I do not teach you what to do. I do not teach you solution. I just give you a tool that subtracts the pattern that is not working. Wow. Your brain is brilliant, Eric, brilliant. And when you get out of your own way by subtracting the pattern, it your brain comes up with highly, highly creative solutions that will solve it for you.
Okay. Say that again.
Yes. When you subtract the pattern that is not working, mm-hmm. your brain will create a pattern that works. Your brain will do that. Your subconscious regions of your brain. You don't need to consciously do that. And I know that sounds a little bit like contrary to everything that you've been taught, because we've been taught that our conscious mind is superior to the subconscious. And it's just not true. Conscious mind is a wisdom. Subconscious mind is a wisdom. And those are both equal wisdoms. Okay. We need to know how to work the brain so that these two wisdoms come together and interact in ways that actually support us. Right now, we're doing a lot of stuff that doesn't support our own personal happiness and goal setting and success.
So how did that get created? If it doesn't, so what you're saying is if you remove these patterns that are not working, mm-hmm. then automatically the brain and the minds, they come together to create a new pattern that does work.
Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
Well, how did the pattern that didn't work for us develop first place?
Great question. So every pattern, first, let me back up to when you were a little baby, you were first born into this world. Our brain is unlike other animals' brains. It is not born with patterns. You are not born instinctively knowing what to do, whereas animals are. Okay. So our brain has to create every pattern in it. Okay. So how does it do that? Well, every situation that you encounter from the time you're born, your brain stores away the action, the behavior, the belief at the time for future use. So at the time a pattern is first created, it worked for that situation, for that immediate situation, it did work. Then your brain stores it away and it thinks to itself, if we could hear it thinking, it would say something like, great, whenever I encounter this situation again, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. I have a pattern in my brain to deal with this situation. Okay. So you encounter a dog and it snarls and it barks at you and it scares you. Your brain stores away a pattern for dog. The next time you see a dog, you're going to be a little bit trepidatious about approaching that dog. Somebody else counters the dog, friendly, nice, you know, has a great time. Now they're not cautious about approaching the dog. Get it? Okay. So now you have all of these patterns that are created in your youth and right through childhood into early adulthood. Now your brain starts slowing down on that pattern creation because it believes, oh, I have a pattern for everything. I don't need a pattern for anything else. And now we enter adulthood and it's only when you encounter a situation in which it appears brand new to your brain that your brain will create a new pattern. Most of the time, it's just running on old stuff. Okay, great. Now, this is why we have some patterns that don't work. It is because today they are misaligned with the situation when they were first created. So the time they were created, they worked to get away from the snarly dog. Today, it doesn't work. Because you're encountering dogs that are friendly. Okay? Mm-hmm. The brain still creates fear. Get it? All right, good. So when we let go of this pattern today that is not working, what happens? Well, your brain now does not have a pattern for dog, so it has to recreate one. And it's going to create one out of the situation you're in now. And if that dog is now friendly, then you're going to have a different relationship to dogs.
Does it create a new pattern through a new action that I'm going to take, or does it have to create the pattern before I take the action?
It can create it before, but typically when you encounter that situation again, so let's take my quitting, right? Here I was, quit every time. Run away. I deconstructed that pattern. I removed it from my brain. Now, the next time I encountered that same stimuli, my brain doesn't have a pattern for that stimuli. And so it creates one. Am I going to quit? No, because that's not going to work. Right? So my brain just creates one that leads me forward to the next step of my path. Today, okay. I never think about quitting. It doesn't even enter my brain. I mean, it's just not a pattern in my brain. I just don't consider it.
How did you remove it?
With the four-step process that I teach in my book. So it's four simple steps. It's identify the pattern. So the first step is stop seeing it as out there, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't, or stop looking at yourself or why am I doing that? That's very important. Just simply identify the pattern. The second step is we're going to flip that switch and own it as a pattern. Okay, it's not the video, as Eric, right, as you were saying, it's not the video necessarily. It's your pattern that is judging the video. That's a difference. So we're going to flip that switch and you're going to own it. I created that. The third step is you're going to deconstruct it. You're going to tease apart that intertwining. And that sounds a lot more difficult than it is. It's actually a very simple step, which takes time to explain. But once you know how to do it, it's actually pretty simple. So that's step three. And then only then can you create a brand new pattern. And frankly, the situation is doing that for you anyway. So there's not much to that fourth step.
So pretty much now that's your framework for your coaching.
That's what I coach. That's all I coach. I actually call myself a trainer now, not a coach. I don't coach people. I just train them in this four steps. Then they get out of their own way and they just do it.
So you mentioned that there was 87% who have great results and 13 that don't. What have you discovered in the 13 that aren't able to break through?
Yeah, it's that lack of ownership. We're so used to blaming ourselves for stuff or trying to find out what's wrong in the situation that it's that lack of ability to say, okay, this is just a pattern. I'm going to say that again because it's so important. We're so used to looking at why am I doing this or what's wrong or how do I fix this or what's the solution? But when we could just say, okay, this is a pattern. This is a pattern that's arising in me. I don't need the solution. In fact, the solution is going to get in my way. What I need to do is just address the pattern and remove it. Now you're going to succeed. The 13% who struggle with that step really have a hard time removing their patterns. And so they just keep looking for those solutions. They just keep striving to get somewhere rather than just removing what's in the way.
Yeah. And if you don't think you have a pattern, just look at maybe you're not at the weight you want to be. Maybe you continue to say you're going to start getting up early in the morning and you keep snoozing the alarm. You say you're going to start a business and you don't. Podcast. Mm-hmm. By the way, it took me, if I showed you my New Year's resolutions from like 2016 to 2020, it had start a podcast on it. Never did it.
So
that
That's
was a pattern.
Right. That's right. Now,
as you're talking, the picture that I got in my mind was like a tree, right? So let's say it's an apple tree and the person doesn't want apples. They continue, but they keep getting apples and they're like, well, I'm going to cut off the branches and maybe then I won't get apples, but you're still going to get apples until you change the seed. And that's that kind of the seed to the pattern, you're going to continue to get the same results. Yeah.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And patterns think either, they think in terms of either or. So either this or the opposite of this, right? And both of those still exist within the same pattern. So you're absolutely right. Until you dig up the seed and plant a different seed, you're always going to get apples.
Absolutely. So what's your book?
It's called Shift, Four Steps to Personal Empowerment. It outlines exactly how to do this four steps and gives some great examples and some great stories of people who have used it and how they've used it.
And the book is available for free. Just pay for shipping. And we'll have the link right below wherever you're listening, or just check the show notes. There'll be a link of how you can go and order this book. for free. Adele, what should I ask you that I have not asked you yet?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, you do sales. Do you see anything that I can do to support your audience when it comes to selling? Is there any pattern that they typically face?
Oh my gosh, yes. So many patterns in sales. I mean, number one is imposter syndrome, because right now, the way to go is video and content marketing, right? Mm-hmm. And so many salespeople will not do that because they don't like the way they look on video. They don't know what people might think of them. It's just this whole imposter syndrome, like, I'm not good enough. Who's going to listen to me? Why should I do that? And they just don't do it. And they're missing a huge boat there. Good. So that's a pattern that could be completely destroyed or removed, I should say. And then the other one is call reluctance, that belief that you're, you know, that shift. I find that salespeople oftentimes, when you ask them, well, how do you feel about salespeople? You know, they'll say things like, they'll always associate it to like a car salesperson. And I'll give you an example. I was coaching this guy. He's been in the industry forever. And every week he would say, he'd commit to an X amount of calls. And then we'd hop on a call and say, hey, how did it go? And he'd say, I got busy. I didn't make the calls, and boom, boom, boom. I said, let me ask you some, why do you think you're not making the calls? And he said, you know, honestly, I don't want to bother people. Mm-hmm. And it's that belief that you're bothering them instead of helping them, instead of fixing the problem for them, that holds people back from making the calls and achieving greater levels of success. That's what I found. Those are like two that come, you know, to the top of my mind.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, so let's deal with both of them, and I'm going to suggest the same thing. So the first thing to do is determine what it is that you want to be doing. So in that case, he wanted to be making a particular number of calls a day. In the other case, you want to be creating content marketing using videos. Okay, great. Set your goal. The next question is not, how do I get there? Wrong question. The next question is, as Eric, you beautifully asked, why do you not have that today? So I'm going to just pause and let everybody think about that. Why do you not have that goal today? What you'll see is that you start to bubble up in your mind a whole bunch of actions, behaviors, beliefs that are not working for you. So in this case, this guy is saying, I sound salesy, right? They don't want to hear from me. These are beliefs. The behavior is, it might be fear, it might be shame, there'll be some embarrassment in there, okay? Some call reluctance, as you said, and the action is not picking up the phone. Great. Under each one of those, there runs a pattern, an intertwined physical sensation, emotion, thought. Get my book, remove each of those patterns, and you will be making those calls easily, effortlessly. If you're not, it's still a pattern in your way. You just want to keep removing those patterns until there is no call reluctance. You're just picking up the call and doing it, just picking up the phone and doing it. That's when you know you have workable patterns.
Well, I'm excited about reading it. I'm going to get your book.
Awesome.
Sounds interesting. I'm curious. I mean, I geek out on this stuff. I absolutely love the subconscious mind, our beliefs and how that works. And, you know, it's beliefs that drive our behavior. It's beliefs that drive our feelings, and the feeling drives our behavior, and the behavior drives the results we're getting. So when we're not getting the right results, you got to go back to the belief. What is it that we believe?
You got to go back to the emotion, actually. We need to get even deeper down below the beneath.
You think the emotion comes before the belief?
Absolutely. We are emotional beings, and emotions drive our beliefs, drive our behaviors, drive our actions.
Emotions drive our beliefs.
Yeah.
Give me an example of that.
So I'm not good enough. What does that belief rest on? Check in. There'll be some sort of shame or some sort of abandonment issue or some sort of feeling inside that drives that belief. That emotion needs to be deconstructed. It's part of a pattern. My quitting, you want to hear what was driving my quitting?
Yeah. Well, before I do, I want to share with you, when you said I'm not good enough, that's one of the things I discovered about myself. It's maybe not I'm not good enough. I think my belief was people will leave me. Mm-hmm. So my parents got divorced when I was two. Dad, you know, super important to me, but was never there. And I think from a young age, I developed this belief that if my dad can leave me, anybody can leave me. Absolutely. And so the way that played out is I would just not let people get close. I wouldn't care about relationships. I wasn't building them. And so now I see what you're saying, but this is an aha moment for me because it took that feeling that I don't even know how to describe that as a little boy, you know, as a five-year-old boy waiting for your dad to come who never came, to then develop that belief.
That's right.
Huh. That's right. That's really good. I didn't know that.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And the same with me. I was terrified of displeasing people. And so every time my fear, or, you know, I'd see a flicker in their eyes of disapproval that would generate that fear. Oh my gosh, I got to quit. Okay. So it's, if we can check in, our body is much more aligned with what's actually going on, like how we're actually believing and feeling and thinking, than our mind is. If we can get out of our mind and get more into our body, we'll become a much more self-aware about what's dictating our actions, our beliefs, our behaviors.
That's a whole other topic. Now we're talking about the body. There's a book that's called The Body Keeps the Score.
Yes, I have read it. Good book. Yes.
Is that what you're...
Yeah. The only thing that I disagree with that is that I always say the body is always here now. It's in this immediate moment. The mind flits around from past to future. Okay. So our mind remembers, our body is always here now. Okay. But that's a whole other topic, as you say, Eric. But that's also in my book. So you can get it from there as well.
Okay. Sounds like we got to go read your book, Adele. Well, you know, thank you so much for being here. I think you've gave me a ton to think about. I'm excited about reading your book. Is there anything that we should have covered that we did not?
You know, and just if they want a copy of my book, if anybody wants a copy of my book who's listening, you're welcome to go to Shift 4 Steps. That's number4steps.com. And like Eric said, I give them. So please grab a copy. All I ask is that people pay for shipping. And I am in Canada. So if you're in the US, shipping might seem a bit more than you are used to paying.
It's international. And she's even going to autograph the books in Canadian, right?
Exactly.
I'm kidding. Let me have some fun. Adele, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're brilliant when it comes to this. And I learned a ton from you today.
Loved being here. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you. You've listened to another episode of Lead, Sell, Grow, the Human Experience podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave us a nice review. And if you're not a part of our tribe on Facebook, be sure to head over to Facebook and join Lead, Sell, Grow, the Human Experience tribe. I look forward to speaking with you in the tribe. Have a great day.